So I know Chuck was talking about a little bit, but Christmas shopping is getting down to the wires. I hope you're finished. I know some people, you know, they get stuck having to wait. Some people hate waiting till the last minute so they get done like in July. I don't know if you're one of those people, because you just hate waiting till the last minute. Some people, you're kind of forced to wait till the last minute. You have things going on and this is the only time you have. Other people love it. They love the thrill of it, you know? And going out and being able to get everything at the last, but it's chaos. I don't know if you've ever been to the mall on Christmas Eve. My wife and I, before we had kids, we used to go to the mall every Christmas Eve together just to watch people panic. We were done in a minute. But we'd go to people watch. And it was amazing. People would be running around. You'd go to Toys R Us, man. People just shoving things in their cart, not even knowing what they are. They're at the Sears, you know, and you got a guy going, oh, a nail gun, grandma, like this, you know. And you're just like, what are you doing? But people just are panicking, right? And it's immensely entertaining. So if you ever have the time or the wherewithal on Christmas Eve, go to the mall. Just let people, it's a lot of fun. Bring popcorn, it's great. But you know, there's something else during this time where it kind of gets craziness and all this Christmas shopping gets down to the last minute, is that all the retailers, they want to get rid of stuff, so they put stuff on sale. And one of my favorite things about this time of year with the sales, but really any time of year, is this, BOGO. Everybody know BOGO? Buy one, get one free. I don't know about you, but when I see this, my eyes light up. You know, because this is better than just getting something 50% off. Because you get two things, right? You get to get two things. And I know what I'm fishing for, fishing tackle, two things. But two things, especially at Christmas, two gifts are always better than one gift, isn't it? Two is always better than one. And you know what? Two is also better than one when it comes to unlikely stars at Christmas. So today, we're going to look at our fourth installment in our series, The Unlikely Stars of Christmas. And what we find is actually we find two people or two stars that actually revealed to us one incredible, awesome Savior. In fact, their story is found in Luke chapter 2, where we left off last week. In Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 25. And where it begins, or just to give you the setting, it's 8 days after Jesus was born. So he's 8 days old here. And what it is, Jewish law set forth this period of purification of 7 days. And then on the eighth day, parents would bring their child to the temple. So Mary and Joseph travel to Jerusalem, and they go to the temple to present their baby. Okay, they come with a sacrifice, and then for boy babies, this is when they're circumcised, according to Jewish law, and it was God's covenant with his people, right? So they bring Jesus to the temple for this purpose. And being poor, Mary and Joseph, this is how we know Mary and Joseph were poor, because it said they brought two doves and two pigeons, which was the poor person's sacrifice. And as they come to the temple this day, 8 days after Jesus was born, this happens, starting in verse 25. Let's read it. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms. And he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Now we could go days on what that's all about, but we're going to kind of keep going. And his father and mother, Jesus' father and mother, Mary Joseph, marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, or, you know, he'll be hated by some. And a sword will pierce through his soul, through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping him with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Pretty cool event here. Jesus' first visit to his temple. And here Luke mentions these two people that bear witness to Jesus. And in doing so, Simeon and Anna become stars in sharing Jesus. And these two people, they're linked together. We could separate them out and do messages on each of them and say, well, each of them are stars. But Luke links them together. And it's no coincidence as they present Jesus right where they are, the fact that they're linked. In fact, I want to show you some of the links of Simeon and Anna here, of why they're kind of linked together, this two-for-one special in stars. Okay, first, we see both of them are at the temple, so both of them are worshiping, right? And the temple, it's not only a place of worship for God's people, but it's also kind of the legal center for God's law given to Moses for the Israelites. Now, in Mosaic law, if you're going to establish some important legal charges or legal events, you need the evidence of two witnesses. Isn't it interesting? They bring him to this legal center, and there's two witnesses of who Jesus is, declaring, no, this is the Christ. This is the Messiah. That's pretty neat, isn't it? It gets me. Trust me. Okay? So we see that. And that's pretty cool. But there's more. Second, we have Simeon, who's a man, and Anna, who's a woman. You know what God's doing with that? He's including all people, all mankind, in bearing witness of Jesus. It's not just men. It's not just the women. But it's men and women together, bearing witness to Jesus, so we can all be stars, okay? Then we see further links of them. They both were devoted to God, right, and following God. They both were old, and we're never given the exact age of Simeon, but we assume he's old because he's saying, I've been waiting around, and I'm not going to die before I see the child, so he's probably not 20 years old going, well, now I can die, you know. He's probably an old guy. Some people say he might have been over 100 years old at this time, but we're never given the age, but we can assume he's probably old. So both of these people being older, they're more experienced, and they show faithfulness over time. So they have a steadiness to their life, okay? But most of all, Simeon and Anna are marked or linked by a common longing. They are both longing for God to do something that he promised long ago, to bring the Messiah. They're both watching and waiting for this, right? They're longing for this, for the Messiah. And it's from this longing, that they're sharing of Jesus' source. But before we get there, however, it's helpful to kind of take a closer look at just who these two were and then what they shared about Jesus that made them stars. Okay? So first, let's look at Simeon. Not much is really said about Simeon's background. We don't know a whole lot about Simeon except for what Luke says. And here's what Luke says. He's a guy in Jerusalem. Okay? So he lives in Jerusalem, and he's righteous and devout. Now, this righteousness Luke's talking about isn't the righteousness like the Pharisees at the time, who it was all outward things to make them right with God, you know, outward obedience. This righteousness he's talking about here is that righteousness of faith that Paul talks about, the righteous will live by faith. So he's trusting in the promise of Jesus. That's why he's longing for him. So this is where his righteousness is found, right? And then it says he's devout, or he's devoted to seeing all of this happen, the promise of God's salvation happen. We also know from Luke that he was filled by the Holy Spirit, which is also very unusual at this time. See, this is before Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit was sent to dwell in the hearts of all believers permanently. Before the Holy Spirit, before Pentecost and the Holy Spirit was sent, the Holy Spirit could come upon people for certain periods of time. Remember David in the Psalms where he says, take not your Holy Spirit from me? because the Holy Spirit could come and go in people's lives. But this says he's filled by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. So he's very Spirit-led, something special. And the Holy Spirit tells him something very interesting, doesn't he? The Holy Spirit tells him, you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. In fact, Simeon is eagerly looking for something called, it says he's looking for the consolation of Israel. Interesting. More on this in a minute. But let's look at Anna. So we have Anna. All right, Anna, her name means grace. And she is a picture of God's kindness. Okay? Luke says about Anna, she's from the tribe of Asher. Very interesting that he mentions the tribe of Asher. One of the reasons he mentions the tribe of Asher, because you remember after the kingdom of Israel split, and Judah went here, and then the rest of the tribes were kind of in the north, they were bad and everything, and then they got captured, and the Assyrians took them over. When the Assyrians took over, those tribes of Israel, there's other nine tribes of Israel, it scattered them in their throughout their empire. So they call these tribes the lost tribes of Israel. So she's from this lost tribe of Israel, Asher. So it's kind of like, oh, is she really there? Yeah, God's bringing her back. God giving her this is showing that she's important and that all of his people are important. So that's interesting. It also says that her father, it mentions her father for some reason. Well, her father's name is Phanuel. Okay? There's another word, a Hebrew word, that's the same as Phanuel, and that's Penuel. You know what Penuel means? Or Phanuel? Face of God. Penuel is actually a place. Do you remember when Jacob wrestled with God to get his blessing? And God struck him and made him, you know, live for the rest of his life? And when Joseph left that place, he said, Jacob left this place, he said, this place is holy, for I have seen the face of God. And he named it Penuel. And it's very interesting that Luke mentions her father's name, Phanuel, which means face of God, because Anna is about to see God face to face. Pretty cool, huh? Anyway, Anna is a prophetess. What's a prophetess? Well, it's just like a prophet. It's one who God gives a message to share, right? And Luke also says she's a widow. Now, a widow during this time, they weren't real honored people. They were very poor, trying to make ends meet. They were just kind of on the outs in society, okay? One who would just struggle to survive. And she was a widow for a very long time. It said she was married for 7 years, then she was widowed, now she's 84 years old. So if we take what we talked about with Mary, that 12 to 14, so let's say 14, she was married for 7 years, which makes her 21. When her husband dies, she's a widow for 63 years. Do you know what that makes Anna? A fighter or a survivor? All right? She's learned how to survive. Okay? And finally, we see that her life is one of worship, right? She serves at the temple and is devoted to fasting and prayer. Okay? So we have these people, right? So now we know a little bit about them. And then here's what happens. Let's just go over the passage again. Mary and Joseph, they bring Jesus to the temple. Simeon sees him, right? It says Simeon takes Jesus up in his arms. It's mine. You know, it's very intimate, right? Cherish him. Obviously, here the Holy Spirit reveals to him who Jesus is, right? Simeon immediately says, takes Jesus in his arms and pronounces a blessing. You know, he says, now I can die because now I've seen the Christ. So he's pronouncing that he's seen salvation. But then he gives this blessing to Mary and Joseph, right? And he says, you know, salvation is going to be for all God's people, life for the Gentiles, glory for Israel. He'll be the fall and rise of many, or many people who have their lives torn apart, those people that don't trust in him, he's going to blow their mind and make them furious. Those people that trust in him, man, that their lives are going to rise, and he's going to be hated by a lot. And he gives the point that he's actually going to be killed. And says, Mary, you know, your heart's going to be broken by what happens to him. But remember this, you know, through him, the hearts of many are going to be revealed, okay? Now remember, verse 25, look back at verse 25. It says, you know, Simeon is one looking for the consolation of Israel. Now let's get back to what this means. So what he's sharing here is just that. Jesus is our consolation. What is a consolation? He's our comfort. He's basically, be comforted. consoled. God is with us. He is here for us. Finally, all of our troubles, everything we're going through, he's got us. Everything's going to be all right. Anyway, at this point, it says Anna arrives on the scene, and she sees baby Jesus. Now, Luke doesn't go into how Anna met Jesus, because that's not important. Just the fact that Anna met Jesus, what's important is the results of her meeting Jesus. So here's what we have. All right, Anna meets Jesus, and upon seeing him, God face to face, right? God in the flesh face to face. Her message is one of worship, and she gives thanks to God, and then she shares, and this is important, to all waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now this is where it gets cool, and I'm glad we just heard these chimes. You see, Simeon shares Jesus to those looking for the consolation of Israel, right? He says, hey, God is with us. Everything's going to be all right. Now, Anna comes along and shares Jesus to those waiting for the redemption, or waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So she's saying, hey, here's Jesus. He's the one who saves us. So you see the message of Jesus we're getting here? Jesus, the one who comforts, and everything's going to be all right because he's the one who saves us. And it's these two messages, just like Simeon and Anna, they're linked together in sharing Jesus. And guess what? These two messages were prophesied hundreds of years, almost word for word. Hundreds of years. Before Simeon and Anna. Check this out. The prophet Isaiah says this. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, you who are laid low. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Again, what's Simeon looking for? The comfort or the consolation of Israel, his people. What's Anna looking for? The redemption of Jerusalem. Isn't that wild? Don't ever tell me God doesn't know what he's doing, or God doesn't have a plan here. So God brings this message, this prophecy, to light right here in Simeon and Anna. And it's a single prophecy, so these messages are brought together, linked together. And in Jesus, God is with us. Everything is going to be all right. In Jesus, God brings salvation, so we are free and clean with him. This Jesus, shared by these two, revealed to us an unlikely star. Unlikely shining star in sharing Jesus. So, what is it about Anna and Simeon that make them stars in sharing Jesus? Or how can we, another way of saying that maybe is, how can we become stars like this? And sharing Jesus and looking at their example. Well, you know, we could be stars by sharing Jesus first, like Simeon, in watching for God. Right? Simeon shared Jesus from his watching for God, looking for the consolation of Israel. And in the same way, we can be stars when we share Jesus from our own faithful watching for God. Have you ever found yourself looking for God's consolation, God's comfort, looking for his presence in your life, or even maybe in a specific situation you're facing? You ever found yourself in a sticky situation at work, or an uncertain time at school, or maybe a crisis at home, and you've asked, God, where are you in all of this? You ever been there? Where are you in all of this? It's in these times, you know, it can be tempting and even understandable from the world's perspective to give up. You're facing all these things and you're just like, you know, I've had enough. Yet, when we keep watching, looking for, and pointing out where we see God working in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our uncertainty, in the midst of our struggles, you know through that faithfulness that we proclaim Jesus. We proclaim as Simeon did when he took Jesus in his arms and he said, hey, God is real and he is here. Everything's going to be all right. So when you're facing trials and struggles, you know, we share Jesus by watching for God. And you see, because of Jesus, when we live trusting in him, everything will be all right. So we watch, we look for God, our consolation, our comfort. And he's our comfort that we don't have to make it on our own. In fact, we can't make it on our own, can we? We can't be good enough for God. We can't overcome any obstacle we face. In fact, we can say, yeah, I can keep going. We can go pretty far, but eventually, you know what? We all falter. We all fail. We can't make it on our own. Yet, when Jesus is with us, guess what? We're safe. We're more than all right. In fact, Jesus himself says this in John chapter 16. He says, I have said these things to you that you may have peace. Peace in the midst of the storm. Right? In the world, you may have tribulation and troubles, but take heart. I have overcome. See, and that's what we watch for. We watch that Jesus is bigger than anything we will ever face. And even in the midst of all of that bearing us, we can keep watching for God. Just as Simeon kept watching for God. You see, stars and sharing Jesus are watching for God. And they're not only watching, but also like Anna, stars are also waiting on God. So we're not only watchful for God, but we're waiting on God. And this is what Anna did. She's the poster child. Anybody's a poster child for something. Anna is a poster child for patient and faithful waiting. For years as a widow, she longed for redemption, for salvation. You ever been there waiting for God? I mean, not as a widow necessarily, but you've just been waiting. Maybe it's for direction or the next step in God's journey for you. Maybe you're a student saying, where am I going to go to college? I don't know that next step. Or getting a job, or maybe with relationships, but I'm looking for God's guidance, and I'm waiting. And it seems like it's taking forever. Maybe it's for wisdom in a particular situation. Maybe waiting for him to answer a prayer for healing or for strength. Wherever we wait, one thing's true. Waiting is hard, isn't it? How many people say waiting is hard? If waiting isn't hard, then you're crazy. You know, that's why I always think it's funny when you're in the doctor's office and they say you're a patient. And you're waiting on it. But imagine waiting 63 years, like a widow like Anna. She waited, and in her waiting, she shared Jesus. How did she do this? Well, look back at her story. Verse 37 says she was a widow until she was 84. She didn't depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting, with fasting and prayer night and day. And how she waited? She didn't sit back and do nothing. She didn't sit back and do nothing and say, all right, God, you better work. And do nothing. You know what? That kind of waiting, it's torture. You're going to drive yourself nuts waiting like that. Speaking of patients and doctor's office, I was in the doctor's office a couple weeks ago. And I go there for my appointment. I'm there a little early. And I leave my phone in the car. And I go to the office, there's no TV on, and there's no magazines, I didn't. So, you know what I'm doing in the waiting room? I'm waiting. And what's the only thing in the waiting room, besides the receptionist, is a clock on the wall. And it's one of those clocks that's loud. So I'm sitting there in the waiting room, and all I'm doing is sitting there waiting. And so, and that's all I had to do. And it was agony until finally I'm called back there and went, oh! Waiting like that, we can't do. But waiting like Anna, that's a different kind of waiting. See, Anna didn't just wait for God. Right? She didn't wait for his redemption sitting in a chair watching the clock. No, she was busy. What was she busy? She was busy with God. She was busy doing what God said before her. She was at the temple. She's serving at the temple. She's worshiping through fasting and prayer. You know what fasting and prayer means? It means that she's constantly seeking God and she's giving herself to God and saying, God, what would you have me to do next? What can I do for you?
She's waiting for God by serving and worshiping Him. And this not only most likely made time go faster for her, but it did something else important. It kept her close to God, so that when God showed up, she was there. You know, sometimes we wait and we go off somewhere else and we miss God. She's keeping close to God. She's serving Him. So that when God shows up, she's like, there it is. So she walks in, she sees Jesus, and what does she do immediately? She starts praising, and she starts saying, wow, this is for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is Jesus who saves. You see, waiting on God that shares Jesus is active waiting. It's different from what the world around us does. When they wait, they sit there and they get impatient, right? And you sit there and you go crazy and you just say, I can't do this anymore. You know what waiting that shares Jesus is? It's saying, all right, God, what would you have me to do? I prayed, I've given this to you, and I'm waiting for this. And in the meantime, what can I do? Where can I serve? How can I give myself to you? How can I worship you? And as we wait in Him, as we trust Him, we still move forward with Him, serving, worshiping Him for who He is, what He's done, and what we're confident He will do. And in Anna's waiting, she pointed everyone who saw her to that which she waited for, redemption in Jesus. You know, Paul says it like this. It says, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And that's what she's doing. Her hope's set in that so that she's hoping for Jesus and she's busy, right? Waiting on God is never wasted. For in it we display our hope in the one who brings salvation. You see, stars and sharing Jesus wait on God. So in Jesus, there's God with us. Everything will be all right as we watch for Him. In Jesus, salvation is here. We are clean and we are free as we wait on Him. You know, sometimes stars and sharing Jesus come in the most unlikely ways. And this morning we have Anna and Simeon, two of the most unlikely stars. And yet, in watching and waiting,